It is up for us to look into our lives every day so we can see how far along we've come from where we were. When you think of the goodness of God in your life, it's not in your sisters and brothers' lives because they're not here. There's not been called. When you think of what God is doing for you and in you, that should make you rejoice and be abundantly glad. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of it's revealed in your bulletin, Christ likeness, not carnal mindedness. Christ likeness, not carnal mindedness. You know, God, in His love for us, from the beginning, always seemed to put before us two paths, not to confuse us, but because He has put within us the spirit of choice, the spirit of being able to select what we will do. In the Garden of Eden, they had the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they had the tree of life, and yet Adam and Eve chose the wrong tree. Human knowledge, human grasping. In Moses, he said in Deuteronomy, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. The choice is ours. What have you been choosing? As we come along in our Christian lives, we give the opportunity to choose. Are you going to choose God's way? Or are you going to choose your own way? Christ mindedness or carnal mindedness? You choose. As you awake every day, you're going to be presented with both sides of the coin. And you must choose what you're going to do. In 1 Corinthians, to which Jeff also made reference, Paul to the Corinthian church. Years ago I discovered that the Corinthian church was beset, saddled, confronted with problems aplenty. And as I think of our congregation, as I think of our church, we are beset, we are confronted, we are saddled with some of the same things that plagued the Corinthian church. And Paul had to address the subject of Christ-likeness, which is spirituality, or carnality. Here was a church that was divided in 70 ways. Our congregation is divided in many ways. The people hear various views, various ideas, but we are called here to follow the ideas of Christ. And Christ has given us leaders, if we believe in the way God does things, to direct us in the way of God, in the way of Christ. But it comes back to us. What are we going to do? Here was a church where Apollos was there. Here Paul comes through. And here Peter comes through. And they started selecting which is a better man. I have much rather Apollos. Give me Cephas. And so they had a selection. And we have the same idea, the same spirit. We choose who is better. But we never remember to bring that thumb back to us. Are you better off for all the people you have Or are you still playing, making mud pies, playing at the edge of the water? Jesus said, launch forth into the deep. It is for us, therefore, to become better Christians. So we confront the subject, Christ-mindedness or carnal-mindedness. He gets to chapter 3, where we will begin today. I doubt we can get all of chapter 3. It has about 23 verses. And it is rich with counsel, rich with admonition, rich with direction. Here he begins, and I, brethren, he addresses them as people of God, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. In other words, babes in Christ are young Christians. We are not old yet. I got called into God's church in 71. I was listening since I was back in my country. A little after 1960, that takes me back, doesn't it? But God called me into this way of life that was different. I was raised evangelical. This morning we were leaving for church and somebody said, you're going to church on Saturdays? Is it like Sunday? We had to pause to explain, not in great theological ranting, but there is a difference. And so, I started listening to the broadcast way back when, and I found it different from what I was raised to understand. And so Paul says, you're babes in Christ. And when I had to make my decision as to what I would do with all the information I had to that point, I had to start all over as a baby in Christ. The man said to me, well, you've got to be baptized. I said, I was baptized already. But you know, God does not accept and recognize every baptism that everybody gives out so freely. Somehow sprinkling. The priests or the ministers sprinkling water on your head. If you don't mind your hair getting all discombobulated. Then there's another baptism called pouring. The minister in charge pours a little water on your forehead. But then there was the baptism that Jesus went through. And John said, you're coming to me to be baptized? He said, yes. I should be coming to you to be baptized. The words of Christ were, suffer it to be so for now. John went ahead and baptized Jesus Christ by immersion. And that is the baptism that we in God's church recognized to be the baptism that God requires. Many people, when they come into this church or when they're about to come in, say, well, I was baptized many years ago. The minister said, well, yeah, that's all, but here we want you to be baptized again. No, I don't want to be baptized twice. It's an affront to God. No, it's not. Have you ever been to a home where they say, take your shoes off by the door, please? And you say, you know what I paid for these shoes? You don't do that. You do what that home requires. You take your shoe off and you walk in stockings. Not many women wear stockings these days. You know what they say? They show up on whatever wear stockings. I'm still working on that sermon. Behavior in God's church, God's house, in certain departments. that we occupy, we pursue when we come into God's church. They're traditional, and yet they are important. If Mr. Trump, not me, invites you to the White House, spend all the money you can on a brand new suit, brand new shoes. Some say, I wouldn't even go if you invited me. Oh, Mr. Obama then. It's amazing the prejudices we have. The Bible says, honor to whom honor? Respect to whom respect? Regard to whom regard? And yet we in our humanness filter out what we will do. I'm not doing that. Remember that song? I'll do this, but I ain't doing that. Many come into God's church with the same attitude of, no, I ain't doing that. I got baptized already. And I, in my pride, said to the minister, well, I was baptized already. Yeah, but God's church require that you be baptized in the way that God expect you to. You might have been baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. But here in God's church, things are a little different. I'll get into some of that when I get into that sermon. Behavior in God's church, God's house. So here these people are presented with being a carnal Christian or having the mind of Christ. And we in God's church have got to also decide what is going to be your posture. Are you going to be in God's church and be submissive to those whom God has put above us and over us? Well, we are all the same. Nobody's above me. Neither way, you know this person does not have the spirit of Christ, nor the mind of Christ. What is showing is carnal-mindedness. You ain't been into anybody besides Christ, you say. But Paul had found in this Corinthian church an attitude. What did Hillary say a couple of weeks ago? I'm in the resistance. A spirit of resistance to God's way of life. I am going to do what I understand. I have come to God's church with all my spiritual understanding. So did I. When I got baptized in 1971, of course some of you weren't even born as yet, I had come to the church with all my knowledge. I've been raised in Sunday school, young people's president, district president, gone off to training college, trained in the ways of leadership, and I had to eat humble pie because I had proven that this is God's church. I could resist as much as I wanted, but God was placing me into His church. And that is where many people, to begin, get off the track. They assume that this is a church like any other church. Here is where God dwells, brethren. When we're here, this place houses dances, parties, birthday celebrations. But when we, God's people, begin to occupy this place on this particular day, at this particular time, this becomes the house of God. And we should treat it like that. We should respect it like that. Paul said, you're carnal. And Lord on, he said, you walk as men. In other words, the man on the street does not understand these things because they are spiritually discerned. Do you have spiritual discernment? Do you know what is spiritual and what is carnal? And that is what Paul had to fight. That is what Paul had to differentiate to these people of Corinth. You were in a different place. The practices here are different. And if you're going to get into the kingdom of God to which you've been called, you're going to have to do what Judge Deneen says, put on your big boy pants. Put on your thinking cap. Put on the understanding of seeking after God. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness, for they shall find it. So he said to them, I have to this point fed you with milk. They said the human being is the only animal that after he has become a grown man loves to stay on milk. After a calf has reached a certain age of maturity, weaning, doesn't need milk anymore. The human beings, they say, the only ones who long beyond weaning, they have milk. Paul says the same illustration, I've fed you so far with milk and not with meat. Shows a difference in the digestive system. Are you still on milk? Well, milk is a part of the feeding diet up to a certain age. But after you get to an age of understanding, good comprehension, development, you need milk. Because by then you have teeth. You can chew. And the digestive system works differently. So he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, because you're not ready for meat yet. It's amazing how many people in God's church are not ready for meat. Meat is too strong. Can't digest it. They've not gotten to that spiritual plateau where, oh, that's no information. I need to digest this. This is for my growth. This is for my development. This is for my more like Christness. Not to resent it. Don't talk to me like that. Not with meat. For here's the truth. Old and English. Up to this point, you were not able to bear meat. You're still on the nipple. And the bottle. The sippy cup. You're not able to bear it, to hear it. Neither, this is the pungent part. Neither yet now are you able. You have to determine that. What is your digestive level? All you can exist in is milk. Sippy cup. Feet can't touch the ground because of your high chair. Maybe you're high-minded also. You were not able to bear it. Can you bear it now? Are you satisfied with a little cup of milk? That's what they did to the cat back home. Do you eat a piece of steak? I don't eat steak. I'm a vegetarian. That's your business. What did God give Adam and Eve? I often ask, that lamb, that goat, that God, through Jesus Christ, killed and covered them with the covering of that animal. Did he leave the meat dish lying down for the flies to get on it? Or did he give them meat to eat? That's good for your theology to decipher. He says, verse 3, for you are yet carnal. What is carnal? Carnal is juxtaposed against spirituality. One is carnal, one is spiritual. What he said in the first verse is, you are carnal. You're yet carnal. And there is too much rampant carnality still in God's church. You're not changing your level. You're doing like this, straight across. You're the same level you are when you came into God's church. You're not growing. First Peter 3:18. But grow in grace. If you're fed milk continually, you're not going to have strong bones. When the systems God gave us is skeletal. 8:5. Respiratory. Blood plasma. Sexual. Digestive. Unless you don't develop, you're not going to become strong. How can the church trust you with responsibility? You might take your carnal attitude to that responsibility, which might be evident in big-headedness. Head too big. Job too big for you. You have to show everybody you have a big position. That's carnality. That is not Christ-like. You're speaking about both of them. Christ-likeness or carnal-mindedness. I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 3, for you're yet carnal. And then he begins to give the fruits. The fruits of carnality. How do I know if I'm carnal, Mr. Morris? You know it. More than that, others would see carnality oozing out of you or rushing out of you. You cannot hide it. It may remain latent for a while. If somebody crushes your toe, then you know how carnal you are. You want to fight. You want to cuss. Oh, in God's church. Have you ever been at your job and somebody wants to say something bad? And he says it, it gushes out. Can't surprise carnality. It dies to come gushing out. The person uses somebody, oh, Mr. Morris is here, I'm sorry. Who is Mr. Morris? Paul asked the same question in this chapter. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're not that important. You're serving God, and your character ought to reflect your God-likeness or your Godness. Our pastor speaks so very much about entering into the God family. Jesus said in Psalm, what is it? Forgot. You are gods. He wasn't being blasphemous. He was seeing us beyond the human state. You're going to be gods. And the word said to God, you can't be God. You must remain forever carnal. You must remain with that attitude of devastation. Somebody crushes your toe and you cuss him. You didn't get a job, you cuss the boss. That's not Christ-likeness, brethren. And that's what we're aiming for. The Bible says that God, through Jesus Christ, is coming back for a church that's without spot and wrinkle. We have got to get all those wrinkles out. My mother used to be an ironing woman. Women, you know, have the best jobs, especially for women. Women didn't work that time, except in the house of slaves, nearly. They did everything. As a child, I saw that. I realized that there's something a man can do in the house. Besides drink, watch ball games. In my time, they didn't have television. So I came to the country, so there were no ball games to look at. There's something a man can do besides sex. Be with the guys. Something you can do for this nucleus of a family that you have. What can I do to make my wife's life better? Teach children how to respect their dad. God is a father to us. And as a father, you've got to have a sense of direction for your family. You've got to have a sense of supervision. A sense of directing these children's lives. So they, when they become grown, Wouldn't we like that young man last week that beat his little child and now they tell us the child died? Maybe he never had a father around to correct him. That's what it is to be a father. Sometimes you say, I wish there was a book that men can read to learn how to be men. Some men are continually boys, you know that. They never grow up. Must have their own way. I realize there's a lot you can do as a father in the house to help your wife. I should be glad for that too. When I was a young father working in the church, I would get dressed. We lived downstairs, sit in the dining room, living room. I'm all dressed. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, my wife has to dress the children. Before she dresses herself, if she dresses herself first, she'll be all straight. By the time we get ready to go to church, well, I said, wait a minute, I know how to comb the guy's hair. I can put on his little wrapper, onesie. And I started doing some of those things in my house. A book doesn't teach you that, gentlemen. You have to acquire this by the perception of God's Spirit, or as you come to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, what can I do to make my wife's life happier? How many men think of that? They want to know what you can do to make my wife happy. And I started making my contribution, and it worked. You should do the same. Paul found himself here among carnal Corinthians who had to learn what it is to be Christ-like, what it is to be demonstrating the Spirit of God and the way of God in your life. So many people say, well, I can't be too much like that. But Michael Jackson has said, I'm only human in his song. But we want to stay on that plane. Won't get any better. I'm only human. What do you expect? Remind me of the scorpion who had to get across the river. And he asked the frog to take him across. The frog said, you're not going to sting me, are you? He said, no. Why would I sting you? Midway over the stream, the scorpion tail was raised and he dropped a sting on it. Yeah, it's what you told me. You're not going to sting me. He said, it is my nature to sting. Can't help it. And we say, it's all my nature to cuss. I heard my parents cussing when I was growing up. All men seem to smoke. And I thought, oh, I'll get to the picture. I will smoke one day. Brother and I tried rolling up some paper one day and smoking it, and I coughed my head off. I don't know how I got it back on. Coughed and hacked. We think it's, you know, it's a certain rite of passage. You do certain things when you get to a certain age. So that young man at 19 had a child and he didn't know a thing about what he was doing. Child is beaten, tackled to death. When the wife comes in, not a good girlfriend, she saw the state of the child and thought she'd call the police. Don't call the police. And he started beating her too. You know the story. It was on the television. 2-3 days after the child dies. Verse 4. For while one says, cling on verse 3 a little longer. For whereas there's among you envying. That's one of the fruits of carnality. Somebody gets a position in the church, you envy it. Oh, that should have been me. In my day when we were coming up through the church and somebody's called up to your name, how come I didn't get called? Envy is rampant in carnal people. Envy! and strife. Do we have strife in this small church? Mm. Oh, we're too small to have strife.
Mm.
The fruits of carnality not only have budded here, but are blooming here in God's church, because we are yet human and don't realize that we've got to grow to spirituality. Envy and strife. Certainly there are no divisions here. Yeah. Wherever God's people are, in training and in learning God's ways, there are going to be divisions. This group, that group. I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. Brethren, Christ-likeness or carnal-mindedness? He says, I am not carnal and walk as men. That's how the natural man walks. That's how the natural man lives. But you're called unto holiness. You're called to Christ-likeness. How far are you into Christ-likeness? So why one says, here in verse 4, I am of Paul. I am of, another says, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Those are fruits. Not blossom, but fruits of carnality. Who then is Paul? Who then is Lomans? Who then is Jeffrey Herrera? Who then is Howard Davis? They tell you who they are. Besides being, in their own view, monkey mutts. Big boys. Having gone through the piddling divisions of growing up. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave unto every man as he sees fit. We're actually called upon to respect those in leadership. God put them there for a purpose. They are not to be, as Paul says, lords over God's heritage. Minister has no right putting you down. They do. I remember once I was part of the stage I'm at. We were all in the same playing field. Minister would call you this way. Oh, me? Yeah, you're calling you. I was a put down. Minister referred to deacon to, oh, he's my deacon. He's not your deacon. He's God's servant. He's God's deacon. And we have a way of putting people down that we want to elevate ourselves. Who then is Apollos? Who then is Paul? But ministers by whom you've come to understand God's way of life. I lose my place. Back at it. Yeah. So, we've got, as we grow up as church people, because God has put us here to grow, not to stagnate. Are you in a state of stagnation? Judging yourself. Where am I spiritually? Am I growing since I came to know God through this church? Am I growing? Am I a better person? Am I more like Christ? Or am I still lodged deep down in carnality? I think of the story of the prodigal son. It's not so designated in the Bible, but it is so designated by us in the church. And he had a brother. Remember the story? The younger brother came and said, Dad, give me what belongs to me. I'm tired of this old house, sleeping in that same old bed. I want to see the world. I want to have a good time. It's the same thing in church. After a while, bring your child to church and he gets to be a certain age and he doesn't want to come. Oh, then I don't feel like going this morning. Then he tells you that for a couple of Sabbaths and then he stops. Oh, coming. Grown up. Wants to do his own thing. That's what the young man did. I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. He went. And the word said he ate what the pigs ate. Because his money was finished. So you're young people to know that when you have money, you have friends. When the money's done, so are your friends. They're done with you. The Bible said he went and joined himself to a nobleman of that city. Got a job. The job was feeding swine. All in Luke 15. And then he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And then he sat and thought, he said, wait a minute, my father has servants. They eat better than I do now. Why not arise and go back to my father and home and tell him how sorry I am and how stupid I have been? That was his planned, prepared speech. When the occasion came for him to go back and meet his father, he forgot his speech. He was so overcome by the father's love and how the father had taken him in. He had a brother who was a good boy, didn't leave the house. Like some of us, we're here every week. Some weeks we're not here. This is our home. Here's where we get spiritual food. Here's where we get direction as to how to live God's way of life. Some of us may feel we know it better than the minister. But God has had you coming here for a reason. To learn his ways more defined. The brother stayed home. On his way back to the house, he heard music and dancing. Oh, they danced in those days. They played music, Mr. Moss. The church I grew up in, you couldn't hear dance. They were holy. And the word said, he would not go in. That is attitudinal. That is carnal. He would not go in. What's going on over there? He called his servant and said, oh, you didn't, you know, your brother came back and they killed a fatted calf. They're having a dance, music. The word said he would not dare go in, and that's an attitude some people have. I remember when I was a younger man, the church to which I was affiliated, one night this song lady said, okay, what we'll have tonight is different people chose the song you would like to sing, and we'll sing that. Chose a song. We all sang that, all five verses. Another lady chose a song, but she wasn't talking to the lady on the other side. The woman who was not talking to the other one, of course it turned out that we were not talking to each other. Because that woman chose that song, this woman didn't say it because she chose it. That's carnality. That is not the spirit of Christ. The person you're not talking to is going to walk up this ledge. I'm not walking up that aisle. I don't want to bump into her because I'm not talking to her. And that is carnal. That is not having the spirit of Christ. And God expects us to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding so we become more like Jesus Christ every day. But we want to hold on to our own ways and do our own thing so we couldn't care what anybody tells us otherwise. So as verse 4 1 says, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. Down to verse 5. He tells what these men do. Verse 6. I have planted. Apollos watered. Think of a minister's watering. Seems like a menial task. That's what you have the yard boy do. After all, he's a servant, isn't he? Some ministers don't think they're servants. Jesus said, I came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And as leaders in God's church, that's all we are. Servants. serving God's people and helping them to grow in grace and come to the knowledge of God in a better sense. But if we are not demonstrating the love of God in our behavior, how do we expect the people of God to grow in grace? Paul us wanted, but God did, gave the increase. Some weeks ago I gave a sermon on God builds his church, not the minister. The ministers talk about how we grow the church. So then, neither is he, this is a put down, it seems, of Paul. Yeah. So then, neither is he that waters or plants anything. Neither he that waters anything, but God. All is linked back to God. God that gives the increase, verse 7. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. They have the same job. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Ministers will get their reward too. They may treat you like if you're nothing, but they will get their reward for so doing. Ministers and leaders have a right to respect God's people, whatever level they're at. They're babes in Christ, they're learning God's ways, and it's up to us who lead to make sure we do it with the right attitude, with the right spirit. If you're treating them as people whom God called to be part of his family. Verse 9, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You're a husband, husbandry person. You are God's building. We can take the whole day and go through this whole chapter. But Paul is showing here, we can either choose to be continually carnal or choose to be Christ-like. We can choose to be demonstrators of the power of God in us. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another man builds thereon. But every man let every man take heed how he builds thereon. If we don't, remembering the other foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he will be your judge, and he will be your evaluator. He'll be the one to tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or you've made a mess of it. You hear, because as it goes on to say that some will be saved souls by fire, for the fire will try every man's work. But unless we allow Christ to work in us, to make of us Christ-like people, the word says every man's work should be burnt up, but he himself shall be saved souls by fire. Let us therefore, brethren, strive to be Christ-like. Get out of carnality. Carnality kills. Christ-likeness rewards the kingdom of God. Let us be God's people, brethren, that we might receive the just reward that God has for us when we finish this sojourn, this walk, and get into God's kingdom.